He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace.
For Subway, grab a chicken pizziola melt today.
Time to sleep if you're Terry Wallace. You are working and you're travelling across the country to do it. He's in Adelaide, ready for the big clash tonight. Plough, good afternoon.
Hello, Half. You sounded a bit bamboozled there.
And, I was. I forgot about Finey.
Yeah, well,
you should never, ever forget Finey.
She sounded very much like the security guard that I just met out the front of Adelaide Oval that was trying to convince me that it wasn't time to come into the ground, and I wasn't allowed
what?
Into the ground.
You're kidding.
Well, it's like anything in life, Half. We've all done it before at some time, had to bluff our way into somewhere. And you know what it's like when you act like you know what you're doing,
yeah.
or you're meant to be there, and all of a sudden they sort of start to just waver a little bit. And that was exactly what happened with him. I started going off on a rant about SEN, which he had no clue about what I was talking about, but that's fine. And then I started to really bamboozle him with going back in history and telling him about how many times I'd been to this ground in the past. And I do go back a long way, Half, and I think that eventually I just confused him so much he allowed me through the gates.
How far back are we talking, Terry?
Well, the first time that I ever came to this ground, and it didn't look like this, I can assure you of that, but the Adelaide Oval was when I was about 11 years of age. I was over with the under-12 Victorian basketball team. We were playing in the national titles over here, and we had a Saturday afternoon off. And I came and watched a game of SANFL football and saw the great Barry Robram. It was either 1968 or 1969. I just, you know, time gets away from you, Half.
Yes.
And he played with North Adelaide and he kicked 6 goals. He was the best player that I ever saw that wasn't on the VFL AFL scene. Was just an absolute superstar. Won McGarry Medal in 68, 70 and 73 over in this competition, and we never saw him. Seeing him live that day, he was just centre forward, superstar of a player. So it was all the way back there. And this bloke, by the time I started telling him a little stories, he just said, "Go in, would you? Get out of my face, and here we are."
Get out of my face. So you bored him to death with your stories, Terry.
Correct.
That's what you did.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. And you know, when us old blokes, we start getting in with a bit of history and a bit of nostalgia.
Sound like Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, the young blokes don't want to know about it.
That's a long time ago. Barry Robin, I didn't see him play, obviously, but I played with his son, Jonathan. Now, Matthew, obviously, was at Adelaide for many years, but Jonathan played with us at the Hawks for a couple of years, and he would retell some of the stories of his old man. It was a fascinating career that he had, Jonathan, Big Barry.
Both of those boys were quite nice footballers, but I think the old man had them well and truly covered.
Yeah.
He was a star. He was an absolute superstar of the game, and for some reason, we had a few over a period of time that just never, ever made the trek across. And, I think they would have added a little bit to the history of the game if they had come across. There's a couple. Stephen Michaels, one that comes to mind from over in WA, that was just a star and, you know, played in state games and was absolutely great. Then there was a few. Michael Aish was another one that never, ever come across. So there's been a few over a period of time that were good enough to come that for some reason wanted to stay around family and friends and stay in the local competition.
Well, there's still really good footy in those competitions.
It was
just as good, if not better at times, wasn't it?
It was outstanding. And I mean, what was trying to happen back in those days were the better clubs in the competition were just going and raiding. And I think you go back to Carlton when they brought those boys over, and it was Kernahan, Bradley and Motley. And, you know, really at the time, Motley was the equal in that first 12 months. Motley was the equal of the other two boys. And you have a look at how they finished up. They ended up being just complete superstars of the competition. And, you know, unfortunately, with the accident that Peter Motley had, we never, ever got to see the best of him. But he was going to be just as good as those other two.
Yeah. What a tragic story that was for Peter Motley, clearly. But he's going well these days, they tell me, over there in Adelaide. So that's great news.
Met him a couple of times. Not sure whether he'd be floating around the corridors now. There's no one here. So, but met him a couple of times before. Ripping guy. And, pleased to sort of see that, things are going okay for him.
Yep, good. Good stuff. Now, you're there tonight for Adelaide and Hawthorn, even though it took you a while to get in. You're there now, Terry. So don't leave your seat, just in case they don't let you back.
I might wander back across the road. I'm going to be here for a while, if that's the case. I've done a few stats and a few numbers and a few matchups and that sort of thing. I don't think I can fill in the few hours before the game. looks like being an interesting game, but if you sit there in reality and have a look at the game, and I'll be speaking with Hutto and Matty Granlund sort of in further detail before the game gets started tonight, but when you have a look at it, you do sit back and wonder how Adelaide's going to be able to match them. At the moment, Adelaide have got 8 players in their side that have played 50 games or less to the Hawks too. So right. Yeah, they are inexperienced. I mean, they're playing pretty good football. I don't think there's any doubt about that being the case. But whether a very young, immature back line can stack up, whether it can hold up, is interesting. I mean, their history over here is brilliant. Playing against the Hawks in Adelaide, they've absolutely dominated. 15 times the two sides have played, and the Crows have won 11 of the 15 occasions. So they really do hold a strong record. It's been a big week over here because it's the 25th year anniversary
yes.
of their first game. The papers are absolutely full of that. So, from that point of view, they're going to wheel out all the boys who played in that very first game against the Hawks. They've waited until the mid-year until they played against Hawthorn to have the celebration. So it's going to be a big night over here, no doubt.
Where are we going for our listeners this afternoon, Terry? Looking forward to that game. Of course, you can catch it live on Melbourne's Home of Footy a little bit later on this evening. What about for our listeners this afternoon with you?
Well, I just want to have a little bit of a study on a couple of things. I mean, normally we get to the stage where we sort of say 7 rounds in, maybe 8 rounds in, and the 8 doesn't change at all. I'm wondering this year, because we had all those early games where the lower sides played the lower sides and the higher sides, etc., where does that sit? We're almost at the halfway mark now. Do people think it's just about set, or do people really still see some big changes? And the other one that I'm really keen on is, who's the fourth best team? I think we all sit back and think that there are 3 standouts, and Hawthorn has still got to prove themselves because they're a couple of games behind some of the others.
Yep.
But who do people legitimately believe is the fourth best side in this competition? Who's going to take a preliminary final spot, or at least get the opportunity of a preliminary final spot with the double chance come the end of the home and away? Because I don't think that that's very clear cut at all. I personally don't think the top 8 is necessarily clear cut, but certainly that fourth position, I think you could stack up an argument for half a dozen teams.
Right, so that's a challenge. Which spots in the ladder up for grabs? How do you think the ladder might change in the back half of the season? And who should, in your eyes, own the fourth spot on the ladder? Currently occupied by the Magpies, do they stay there? Or do things change over the back half of the season? Your calls after the break, 9429-1116. Terry Wallace is with us, ploughing in live from the commentary box at the Adelaide Oval in preparations for the big clash tonight, Thursday night footy. Adelaide and Hawthorn, Anthony Hudson and Matt Granlund will be there with him later on, but we're talking footy with Terry. We're ploughing in after this. Tell you what you feel better after Thursday night footy, I'm sure. You can hear it tonight on SEN. Adelaide and Hawthorn, Anthony Hudson, Matt Granlund and Terry Wallace will be calling all the action. Terry's in Adelaide at the moment in the commentary box, talking to us as he does on a Thursday afternoon. Plough, you've thrown the question open to our listeners on the open line, 9429-1116. You've thrown them a couple. How will the top 8 change? How much will it change from this point until the end of the season? And who's the fourth best team in the competition? We know the Magpies are there currently. The Giants have been floating around that spot for a little while, but we would suggest with their injury rate this week, particularly, Terry, that won't be their domain for too long. So who should own that spot? 9429-1116. Do you think, Terry, that as we get to our callers, that tonight's game has a bearing on that fourth position?
Not to me. I think Adelaide are having a pretty solid season. I'm not sure that they're good enough to get that fourth spot. It's certainly the only bearing to me it has is if Hawthorn get knocked over.
Right.
Because all of a sudden then, when you have a look at them, I mean, we're talking about them being one of the top 3. Well, they're 2 wins behind West Coast and Collingwood already. Mm. I mean, all of a sudden, if you give them another game up, I mean, it starts to become a more difficult equation for the Hawks, albeit I still think that they're good enough to get there. But that would be the only way. An Adelaide victory, well, of course, you've got to factor them in as being potentially a chance if that's the case. A Hawthorn loss, well, you'd have to factor in, does that start to put them under pressure? When do they finally come under pressure, half the Hawks, just very quickly? They've got 7 players now that have played over 200 games in this lineup.
Gee,
it's got to catch...
Not too many in that category, would there?
No, I don't think virtually anyone else. You go, Ruffhead's played 217, Jordan Lewis is now 224. Mitchell's 270. Burgoyne's 279. Hodges 257. Lake's 236. And Hale's 223. Somewhere along the line, it's got to catch up to them. Mm. I don't think it's caught them yet, personally. I still think that they're the team to beat. But it has to. I mean, we're going to have to wake up one of these times, and all of a sudden we're going to have to sort of say, well, hang on, have they got too old? Because clearly it happens. Clearly it's happened to a lot of the Geelong boys, and it's going to catch up eventually with the Hawks.
Yeah, interesting point. 7 over 200. Hadn't been aware of that with this week's lineup for the Hawks in action tonight against Adelaide. George is in Northcote. He's given us a call on the open line, 9429 1116 Terry, with who he thinks might own that fourth spot. G'day, George.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, a couple of points. I think this year you'll probably find, as it did in 2008, you'll have probably three teams battle that out right to the last home and away game of the season who will finish fourth. And I think we'll be out of Richmond, West Coast and Collingwood. I think West Coast just slightly, the fact that because they've got their home games. And in terms of a team that will probably really, really come strong in the second half of the season, and I know Terry doesn't probably agree with this, is I actually think with Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide, I think, and if you notice in the last probably 10, 15 years, there's always one team that gets the run on. Last year was Richmond and, you know, St Kilda in 2008, and there's been other teams, but I think Port Adelaide will be one team after they have their bye, regroup and come home with a wet sail.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, as you mentioned, that I wouldn't. I think the other two sides on the five wins are more likely than what Port Adelaide are, the Bulldogs and North, but in particular North.
Yep.
They've got a pretty reasonable draw.
Good draw.
I was at Etihad Stadium last Saturday night, and I was pretty impressed with what I saw. With no Wells, and I know we can't rely on him now because he's indefinite with his injury, but they get Dalsano back this week. I still think Attlee will come back as a run and carry player into that side before the end of the year. I think they're the ones that still, I mean, they went within an inch of beating Sydney. All they had to do was kick straight in the last 10 or so minutes and they get a result. So to me, they're still the ones. Port Adelaide, to me, just don't look a shell of what they have looked in the past. And I know we would probably be saying the same thing about Richmond at the same time last year, but I don't know whether we've seen a side rattle home like Richmond did last year. I mean, we might sort of say teams finish strongly once they're out of the action, and I think that's the case. But not rattle home like Richmond did last year to be able to make it. So I'm more bullish on North to still be able to have an opportunity of getting into the eight than what I am certainly of Port Adelaide. The only other one that I would sort of say is you mentioned Richmond coming from six wins to fight it out with West Coast and Collingwood. I wonder why you wouldn't suggest that Geelong would still be in that mix, because they've got all those home games down at Geelong still to come. We know how difficult it is to win through the winter period down at Geelong with the wind and everything else that plays a part down there. So I would still have them in calculation as well.
Did you mention the Bulldogs?
I sort of said that I thought out of the five-win group for a spot still in the eight, I still think the Dogs will be plucky in the second half of the year. I think that they're still, I think they're in better shape than what Port Adelaide are in.
Well, they don't play. I've just gone through the Dogs' draw. I hadn't quite paid too much attention to it at this point. They win the next four, Brisbane, St Kilda, Carlton and Gold Coast.
You would think.
You would think. And they don't meet Hawthorn, Frio, Sydney, Adelaide, Richmond. They're the teams in the eight at the moment, or the Giants in the eight at the moment. They only meet, the teams in the eight at the moment, they only meet Collingwood on the way home.
Which is a lovely, I mean, really. And then you've got games where we probably would have sat back at some other stages and sort of said, well, Port Adelaide at Etihad. Well, Port Adelaide's looking much more winnable at Etihad now than what it would have been when you were penciling them in at the start of the year.
Yeah,
and
my word.
North Melbourne in round 22 at Etihad Stadium as well. So, and even Collingwood. I mean, I know it's pre-season. That's well in the rear vision mirror now. But you know, certainly the Western Bulldogs handle the Etihad Stadium ground very, very well, and we're able to take it up to Collingwood in the pre-season. So, look, they're still in the mix, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt whatsoever. I don't think Port are. I think they're shot.
Be more Bulldog. Yeah, good on them. Hey, George, down the line, though. That's all right. You made your say. That's good stuff. New York Minute voucher coming your way. The new store in 235 Faraday Street, Carlton, is a beauty. You'll love it. Rod's in Noble Park. G'day, Rod.
How you going, guys?
Good, buddy.
I think that if the next two nights is going to sort of decide the top four, I think if the favourites win, I think it'll be Freo, Sydney, West Coast and the Hawks. But if the Hawks lose tonight, I don't think they can make top four anymore. I think Adelaide will take that spot. And if Richmond lose to West Coast tomorrow, I think West Coast will finish second. And if West Coast get top two, I reckon they'll go to the grand final and then possibly play Adelaide.
Well, they've got the best percentage in the competition. I mean, when are we actually going to start taking them moderately serious, half? Because I think it's fair to sort of say, okay, they've got under the guard of most of us and surprised us, and I'd be the first to put my hand up with that.
Yep.
But then I keep looking at their percentage, and people can say what they like about their played lower sides, and that, but they've belted them. Yeah, you know, absolutely, just given sides an absolute belting. You know, they're on 155%. So if you do a percentage ladder, they're number one and the Hawks are number two. So, look, they get their tough draw from rounds 16 to rounds 20. They've got Collingwood at Etihad Stadium, Sydney Swans over in Paterson Stadium, Gold Coast at Metricon. Whether they're stumping up anything by then, we don't know. The Hawks at Paterson and Fremantle at Paterson. So I think we'll get a better indication of them once they've played that group of games, which does look a pretty tough run.
Thank you, Rods. Down the line, you've got two bottles of wine, one red, one white, thanks to AR Property Investments. We solved the property investment puzzle for you. I did get one wrong too. Bulldogs play West Coast to Domain Stadium, round 21. My apologies for overlooking that one. And they're pretty hot to trot at the moment, as we've said so far in season 2015. We'll get to a break, Terry. More calls are coming after that to have a chat to you about who is the best fourth team, and the fourth best team in the competition, and how might the eight change in the back half of season 2015. We'll talk about that with Terry. Ploughing in and footy after the break. 21-4, there are people out there that are concerned that the people's hamstring, the national tipping champion Nathan Thompson's not on for a preview of the game tonight. Never fear, I've got his tip for tonight's game. I'll give you that a little bit later on. It's very important stuff for a lot of people out there. But Terry Wallace is here to talk about that and a whole lot more live from Adelaide and the build-up to Adelaide and Hawthorn tonight on SEN Footy. We're talking about the best team or the teams that might change in the top eight in the back half of the season and who owns that fourth spot. You've got Freo, Sydney and Hawthorn in there as the top three, Terry. Do we get to that?
I do think that they'll be there. I think the Hawks are good enough still. I still think they're the best side in the competition, but that's only an opinion at this stage. I'd love to see them play against Fremantle just to get a bit of a line on it. Obviously, there was only a kick in it when the Hawks met Sydney earlier in the year, so not much between those two sides, but we haven't quite got the same line on the Hawks and Freo. Obviously, the Sydney-Freo game was virtually only a kick in a bit in that one as well.
All right, well, the Hawks play a few games in Tassie, and Simon from the Apple Isles be giving us a call this afternoon. G'day, Simon.
G'day, Haas. G'day, Plough.
Hey, Simon.
Well, hard for me to say this is a very proud Hawks man. I think Richmond are going to own fourth. Now, I'm going to give you three reasons why I think they will. Number one, they're getting an even contribution across the board. They're reasonably healthy, but I think the biggest thing is the style of footy they're playing. They're actually out Freo last week.
Well, they have been very good, Harper, no doubt. For 4 weeks now, they've played against all those sides that you would have thought they were going to be battling for the same spot and then come up against the big boys and give them a nice old touch-up, particularly early in that game. They're going to have to be good, really, to stump it up and get there. If you have a look at their draw, it's not easy. When you have a look and sit there, they play Fremantle in round 17, Hawthorn in round 18, both at the MCG. Two big, big games in a row there. And then the following week go across to Adelaide Oval. So they've got three massive weeks there. Then the finish off to the season, depending on where Essendon are at the time, I think that they look like they've fallen away. But Collingwood, Essendon and North, the Collingwood and North Melbourne games will be those 50-50 games that they actually were able to get over the line. Well, certainly Collingwood was as the start of their four-week win. North Melbourne got them down in Tasmania the last time around. So it's not a simple draw. When you have a look at that in comparison to, say, a draw like North Melbourne, I know we're talking Richmond, their top four, and we're more talking North Melbourne about them having a chance to hit top eight, but you have a look at their draw. They've got GWS. If they get a result there this weekend, they go to the bye. Then they've got round 14 Gold Coast, Round 16, Essendon. 17, Brisbane. 18, Carlton. 19, Melbourne. St Kilda in round 20. I think they win all those. So they've only got one being Geelong. In between, they could win, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 of 8 games quite comfortably. And they're not even, to me, them games are not even 50-50 games. They're all teams down lower on the ladder than where North Melbourne sit, and I think they're good enough to beat those sides.
Yeah, that's opening up nicely for the Kangaroos. If they can get it all together, it'll be very, very nice for them. But the Tigers, they've got a couple of big weeks. Got West Coast tomorrow night, as we know, and Sydney at the SCG. Just
well, West Coast is huge. I mean, if you want a top four spot, that's one of the other top four sides. You're playing them on your home ground. It becomes huge.
Thank you, Simon, for your call. Great to have you on the line there, down there in Tassie. Dave's in Melton. G'day, Dave.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we?
Good.
Yeah, I think it comes to this weekend between West Coast and Richmond, because if West Coast win, I think they'll finish top three with Sydney and Hawthorn. I think Fremantle will look a bit shaky and capable of dropping a couple of games. I think Fremantle will finish fourth.
Freo fourth, Terry?
Well, it's interesting. I like Fremantle. I mean, you're allowed to have a couple of average games, which they have done over the last couple of weeks. They're actually, if you go the percentage ladder, they're actually sitting fourth on percentage. So, yep. they're not belting sides like the West Coast Eagles necessarily, but it's about stumping up wins, isn't it? And, you know, there's a fair bit of work for a few of those sides. We're talking about, teams coming, from below to try to surpass them. I mean, Richmond are four wins behind them at the moment. I mean, that's a big, big start when you're talking about a competition that's already halfway through.
Yeah.
Look, they've got the West Coast, as we mentioned before, they've got a tough run coming. They're rounds 16 to rounds 20. So 5 weeks, they've got Collingwood at Etihad, Sydney at Paterson, the Gold Coast at Metricon, Hawthorn at Paterson, Fremantle at Paterson. So most of them are at home, but they're against all the big teams. So really, I mean, the ball will be in their own court, but they've been the surprise packet of the year for me, no doubt.
Okay, I haven't got too many issues with Freo. I reckon they're top two all the way through, but Dave doesn't quite think that at the minute. That's all right. Rob's in Taylor's Lakes. G'day, Rob.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, just before I talk about Collingwood, I'd just like to say, for the 3 o'clock news you had on Damien Hardwick, and I actually thought it was Ross Lyon. He came out with that many cliches.
There's a bit of feedback off the SMS too, that it's becoming a school of Ross in the press conferences with the coaches.
Yeah. I just like to say I think Collingwood can hang on simply because the injury list is, well, it was non-existent in the paper the other day, and from what I can gather, there might be any on it. And I think coming towards the finals, that's over the years, it's always been crucial for a team to play off in the finals, have a very small or no injury list of note.
That's a good call. That's a good call. I think they had their issues early, didn't they? I mean, one of the things, before we go on to their injuries half, I mean, one of the things from a Collingwood point of view is they dumped all those senior blokes over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So they really opened up the bottom end of their list and just saw what they had and exposed virtually everyone to senior football. So that's given, to me, it's given them more depth than what a lot of the sides had. I thought they went, when they went into the start of the year and they lost the two boys right from the start, Thomas and Keefe, and then they had Scharenberg and McCaffer already out for the year, and then you had Ben Reid, we didn't know when he was going to play. I thought that was going to be really tough for them, but they've recovered beautifully.
They have the Pies, and it's, as our man Rob says, it's not a bad draw considering what's happened so far for the Magpies too. They've got a couple of big weeks that we've mentioned, but they can certainly do it the way they've played at the moment. Fourth spot could be theirs. That's the beauty of this. 13-4, we need to get to a break. We'll do that. Michael and Scotty, we'll get back to you after that. Terry Wallace is joining us from Adelaide in the build-up to the clash tonight. Thursday night footy, Adelaide and Hawthorn. Nathan Thompson's tip, not too far away. Terry Wallace with us, ploughing into the world of footy live from the Adelaide Oval, the commentary box, as he gets ready for the big clash tonight. Adelaide Hawthorn. Hutto and Tonsils will join him a little bit later on the coverage on SEN. But Michael's in Lower Plenty. Terry wants to talk to you. G'day, Michael.
Hey, g'day, Half and Plough. Hey, two quick things for you. Look, obviously, Collingwood, the reasons being, they are playing a great brand of football and playing with confidence, and confidence can take you a long way. Clokey's kicking straight. Reedy might come back and fit into the side up forward somewhere. And the second thing, Do you think there would be a possibility that we could have two preliminary finals coming out of WA if all the eggs fall into the baskets for Freo and West Coast?
Great question.
Well, it's certainly possible. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt it's possible. But if I was a betting man, I would still think that either Sydney or Hawthorn would host one of those two finals.
Doesn't there have to be a prelim at the MCG as part of the deal?
That's a very good question.
There might. I just, as you were saying that, Michael, I was thinking, I reckon there might be a deal to have a prelim at the MCG.
I wouldn't have thought so. But how are you going to take away a preliminary final from either of the two clubs?
Oh, it's a very fine question you raise on the back of it, Terry. Yeah. I just thought that there was. Maybe that was
no,
an old one.
I think there was an arrangement. Once upon a time, there was a deal where I think that was the case, and then they ended up sort of working it around it. So you couldn't do that. I wouldn't think you'd be able to take it away. And at the moment, you'd have to say the hot favourites are Freo and Sydney to host that. But we've got a long way to go before we get there. But certainly, I mean, a WA multiple prelim final would be a possibility. I would say it would be a fair stretch still at this stage.
We'll see, Michael, but they're going gangbusters. More tomorrow night with the Eagles, and they tackle Richmond. Scotty's in Point Cook. G'day, Scotty.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good.
Good, good. Just got a quick one for you. What do you reckon the likelihood is of the Doggies making the finals, given that we've played pretty much everyone in the eight except for Collingwood, and at the break we're 5-5? What are your thoughts?
Well, with their draw, a good chance. But the only thing, Half, is that they've lost games which you would expect them to win. And that's been the real killer for them. The Saints game that they lost earlier on, was a disappointment for them. I think Melbourne was another one. So that's their issue. They've actually stumped up some fantastic games against the top sides. And obviously that big one was the Sydney in Sydney. But if they can have some form of continuity, they've got a draw which still has them in the hunt.
We will see. They've certainly got plenty of opportunity to go in season 2015.
They can't all fit in. That's one thing.
No, that's the beauty of it.
There's only eight spots.
That's the beauty of it. That's the game. That's why we love the back half of the season in particular, because we're trying to work out all these possibilities and put them in place.